that chapter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you would meet with us now by your Holy Spirit and help us, help me as we study this. Show us things that you want us to take from this, that we might not be those that just hear this, but those that do it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as Sean said, we are continuing a series of studies in parables from Luke, stories that Jesus told. And this one, it's been titled the Parable of the Faithful Servants. I think I want to call it something else. I want to call it the Parable of Those Who Watch, Those Who Are Awake. And ever since I was given this passage to preach on, I think it's been obsessing me a little bit. You start to study and read and study and read it again and try and see where am I going with this and looking more and more. But I hope we leave tonight with a bit of excitement about how Jesus wants us as his followers to live while we await his return. A determination to live for him as he expects us and to behave as he expects us to in these days. So please keep your Bibles open. I'm going to be dotting around quite a few scriptures tonight, trying to shed a bit of light on this parable. So be prepared to be pressing the magnifying glass and searching through your app this evening. And it's a parable. It is a parable. Peter says, is this parable for us or for everyone? So they recognize it's a parable. It's a story. Literally something that's thrown alongside so that you can understand it, like an extended proverb in the New Testament. And Jesus was seen often taught in parables, sometimes using lots of parables to illustrate the same point. Sometimes it was parables that he explained to his disciples, and sometimes it was parables that his enemies knew were directed at them. So lots of stories he used. And we're going to dig tonight into what is really quite a simple story when you read it. And you can probably think of similar situations even today. Maybe like a couple that are going away for the weekend and they're leaving their teenager at home. And what are they going to find when they get back? Has the house been looked after? Or was there a party with all of year six coming round and wrecking the place? So there's a simple story. But our challenge tonight, I think, is what do we do practically with what this says? And that's where I want us to go tonight. What do we do practically to be those who are awake, those who are alert? So let's go back to the passage. Keep Luke 12, 35 to 48 in front of you. And as Sean was telling us last Sunday night, this parable comes as part of a series of teachings in Luke 12 from Jesus. So it doesn't just come out of the blue, this parable. Luke 12 is a whole series of teachings that Jesus is giving the crowd and then his disciples about their life in this world now, their attitude to different things, to material possessions, to persecution, to worry. And he's telling them to have a more eternal perspective on all these things. So this parable, as I said, it doesn't come out of the blue. It's not like, now we'll get a bit of teaching about the return of Jesus. No, this is, it's part of a long extended teaching about our behavior in the world as disciples. The verse before we start the parable is sort of the culmination of all that. And verse 34 is that familiar one. It says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that's the background to all this. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's what's going to shape your attitude, where your treasure is. Then we get the parable for tonight. And it's, as I said, it's not a discrete teaching. This is something that's flowing from the rest of it. The daily behavior that Jesus is expecting from his followers. I'm going to read it again. Sean said last week, sometimes reading it again doesn't do any harm as we go through. So Luke 12, 35, just the first five verses now. Stay dressed for action and your lamps burning. Be like men waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he'll dress himself for service and have them recline at table. He'll come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house, had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man you do not expect. So as I said, you see, it's a fairly simple story. We've got the master, the owner of the house, is temporarily away from the household, and the servants have been left in charge, waiting for his return, ready to open the door when he knocks to welcome him back into his house. And the master wants to find them, says in verse 37, he's expecting to find them awake. Literally, the word Gregorio in the Greek, it means about keeping watch, being vigilant, being on guard, protecting the house. They've got a task to do. Whenever the master returns, whatever point in the night that he comes back, that's what he wants to find them. He wants to find them alert, on watch, on guard, vigilant. That's the attitude he wants. And verse 39 explains why that's important. Because faithful servants are always watching, continually on guard, because they don't know when the thief is going to attack. There's a thief out there trying to break into the house and break down the house. They're to be vigilant to stop the attack of the thief. Whenever their Lord returns, he wants to find people that are watching out for the attack of the thief. Now, the more I was thinking about this parable and reflecting on it, I was thinking that often the emphasis gets put in the wrong place, and the commentators sometimes put the emphasis in the wrong place. The servants left in charge are the watchmen. They're not primarily focused on the return of the Lord. They're waiting for him. Yes, that's important. And when he gets back, they'll welcome him. They'll return them. He will reward them and feast with them. But they're also watching God in the house for attacks by the thief. The servant's task is to guard and protect the house while the master is away, to keep the house safe and secure. They're to remain awake and vigilant and on guard. Primarily, yeah, they're looking for the master, ready to open the door when he comes back. But they've got a duty to watch over and protect the house. Whenever the master returns, he wants to find them watching and alert to attack. Not snoozing, not partying, but alert to attack. The master comes home and knocks on the door. And the servants are awake to wait to let him in because they're on guard, because they're protecting the house. And that's the daily attitude that they should have, being alert and on guard, and therefore awake whenever the master comes back. And the contrast in verse 39 at the end there is what happens when a thief comes in. People weren't ready for him. They're not on guard against the thief. And it's a different from the master. The master comes and knocks on the door. The thief comes and breaks in. The servants have to be ready for the master because they're watching out for the thief. Let's pick that apart a bit as we go through this. So Jesus is telling this parable. Who is he telling it to? Who's the parable being told to? So the start of Luke chapter 12, if you go back to verse 1 in Luke chapter 12, we read, it says, many thousands of people had gathered together, that they were trampling on one another, and he began to teach his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And there's a big crowd, many thousands of people. So there's lots of people hearing all these teachings. And we get in verse 13, someone shouts out a question. So lots of people are there, they're shouting questions, lots of people are around. But in verse 22, Jesus starts teaching directly to his disciples. Verse 22, he says to his disciples, therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life and what you'll eat, about your body, what you'll put on. So Jesus is directly teaching his disciples. But this parable has confused Peter. And as we read there, verse 41 of what we've just read. So Peter's heard that parable about being alert and awake. And Peter says, verse 41, Peter says, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us or for all? To the disciples or to the crowd? Who's this really for? Who's this about?" So Jesus gives him an answer. And as Sean said this morning, often parables are given in answer to questions. So you might want Jesus just to say, "Well, I'm giving it to you," or "I'm giving it to the crowd." No, Jesus gives a parable. So how does Jesus answer? Who's this parable for? Is this for us or for everyone? So Jesus tries to make the answer obvious to Peter by telling a parable. So verse 42, we read this. "The Lord said, 'Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master's delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day he does not expect him, and an hour he does not know, and he'll cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful, with the unbelievers.'" So again, we've got a similar story. A lord putting someone in charge of the household while he is temporarily away. And when the master returns, again, he wants to find the servant doing what he's been told to do, doing what the task that he's been given while the master is away. Whenever he returns, he wants to find that servant doing what he should be doing, looking after the house and those that are within the house. And the servant's rewarded if that's the case. But we get a serious warning in verse 45. The servant thinks the Lord's return is delayed. He's not coming back. And he stops looking after the house. He stops doing what he should be doing. And he starts to take advantage of his position in the house and to beat and abuse the fellow servants, to eat and to drink and to get drunk. And that servant is surprised when the master comes back. The master does not find him doing what he should have been doing. And he faces severe punishment. His place is the same, his destiny is the same as the unfaithful, as the unbelievers. He might have had a serious senior position in the house, but he ends up with the unbelievers. Serious words. And the answer to Peter's question, is this parable for us or for everyone? I think it's obvious. It's directed at those that the servants of the master, the servants of the master, those that are left in charge of the house when the master is away, those that are responsible for feeding the fellow servants and looking after the house in the absence of the Lord. As I said, what do we do with all that? That parable, what is the practical takeaway of that story for us? So there's a house, there are servants, they're left in charge of the house while the master is away. They must stay awake and keep watch and stand guard. That is how they're to be found when the master returns. Okay, let's try and take that apart a little bit and try and apply it and see where we go. So there's a house. This is where I'm going to ask you to start dotting around your Bible. So no apologies for this. You're going to have to get your Bibles out and follow me around a bit tonight. So there is a house. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. So there's a house. In Greek, an oikos, it's talking about a house. We read this. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And we get the same idea in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, if you go forward a bit in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household, it's the same word, the house, the oikos of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, joined together, grows into a holy temple to the Lord. In him you're also built up together into a dwelling place, house for God by the Spirit. There's a house. Often in the New Testament, the word house is used as a picture of the church, And the master of that house is Jesus. Jesus is the master of the house. Hebrews 3, verse 6, Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if we hold fast the confidence we had from the start. If you hold fast our confidence and boast in our hope, Christ is faithful over God's house. He is the master of that house. So there's a house, there's a master of that house, and there are servants in the house. Those who follow Jesus, his disciples, followers, ourselves as Christians, we're told in the New Testament, we are bond servants. We are bond servants, slaves, doulos of Jesus. We are his servants in the house. Ephesians 6, verse 5 tells us, it draws a lesson from earthly servants. It says, bond servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not only by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. We are characterized as servants of Christ. So servants in the house with work to do, with tasks to do faithfully for the master. But you might have noticed that the master is away right now. The master is away right now, but he's coming back. The master is away and he will return. Do you remember at the start of Acts, the ascension, Acts 1? Verse 10, the angels say, so while the disciples were gazing into heaven as he went, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go. So this master, the master is gone, but it's only temporary. He is coming back. So I think we can put some pieces together. There's a master, servants of Christ in the house awaiting his return, and there's a clear teaching in the parable to be awake, alert, vigilant, on guard, protecting the house while the master's away. And that's how he wants to find us when the master returns. Whenever he returns, that's how he wants to find us, watching, awake, and alert. But what does that mean to be awake and alert? It still sounds very, very good. Let's be awake and alert. So most people are tonight awake and alert. And I keep on saying things loudly to keep you awake and alert. But what does the Bible say about those who are watching? Those who are watching while the Lord is away. What characterizes those who are awake and vigilant and ready? Well, I've got six words tonight, six verbs, doing words, six words for us that we can be doing and things that we should be, and one final one which will help us to do all those. One, if you don't do, you might be struggling with the others. Words that we should be, things we should be doing. Expecting illuminating, praying, standing, protecting, and feeding. And to do that, you should be sober. So let's go. This is where we're going to look at a few more scriptures. So those who are awake, those who are alert and on guard, those who are alert and on guard. The very start of this parable where Cameron started to read tonight, we read Luke 12, verse 35. We read, stay dressed for action. Stay dressed for action. It all starts before we get into the parable. The first thing Jesus said is stay dressed for action. In the old version, the King James, it says, have your loins girded for action. Literally, that means wrapping up any loose clothing that might get in the way when you're about to do something, when you're about to start running or you're about to start fighting. Wrap it up, get yourself dressed and ready for action. That's the first instruction to those that are awake and alert, is to be ready for action. It's the same phrase you get in the Passover in Exodus 12, when the Hebrews were told to eat the Passover. They were told to do it with their loins girded, ready for escape, ready to get out of where they were, ready for the Lord to rescue them from the problems they were in Egypt. The first thing you've do, it says, in this manner you shall eat the Passover with your, this version, it says your loins girded, with your belt fastened, with your sandals near your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste, the Lord's Passover. The daily attitude we've got should be those that are ready for action, not with your life and with things flapping around you ready to get in the way, but keep things in your life strapped down so you're ready to act, ready to escape, and ready to expect attack and act on it. Always the same idea, be ready for action. Get your loins girded, get your clothes strapped down. The rest of that verse says, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Keep your lamps burning. Illuminated, be illuminated, illuminating. Those who watch, these servants are in the dark and they need light to see in the dark. Where are we going with this one? So can you turn to Psalm 119, verse 105? Psalm 119, verse 105. One of your memory verses. We read Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Servants have to have their lamps burning. They need the illumination of the lamp to see in the dark. The only way we as servants are going to see in the dark and be ready for the attack of the thief is with the word, with the lamp burning and in our hands. We need to live in the light of the word day by day, informing what we do, what we think, and how we interpret what's going on in our lives and in the world. You've got to be reading this book. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. As servants, we're only going to see in the dark and be ready for attack if our lamps are lit and burning. Are you reading the Bible? Yeah, that's essential if you're going to be awake and alert. What else? We've had expecting, illuminating, praying. We need to be a people who pray, praying. Garden of Gethsemane, Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. If you go there to verse 37. This is before Jesus' arrest and he's in the garden and with his disciples, knowing what's come in the next day, what he will face. And it says, verse 37, Mark 14, it says, Jesus came and found them sleeping. They weren't awake. He found them sleeping. He said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Be awake 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus calls his disciples to be awake and praying. Praying, it says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. We've prayed that already tonight in the Lord's Prayer. We said, lead us not into temptation. Those who are awake and alert are those who pray. Those who are awake and alert and on guard are those that are praying that they will be protected from attack, protected from the attack of the thief, reliant on the Father's protection. Jesus expects those he's left behind who are awake to be a people that are praying. Okay, what else? People that are awake, those that are awake, standing guard, vigilant, are those that are standing, those that are standing. 1 Corinthians 16, please. Verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 16. Paul tells the church in Corinth, be alert. It's the same word again. Be alert, be awake, watch, be alert, and stand firm in the faith, courageous and strong. Those who are awake, who are watching, alert, are those that are standing firm in their faith, standing faithful. You're not easily knocked about. You're not easily knocked away from your position. You've got solid foundations. How do you do that? How does the Bible say that we are to be able to stand? Who are those that stand? We've already looked at Ephesians 6 tonight, but we're going to look again. Ephesians 6, those that stand in Ephesians 6, verse 11. Paul says to the Ephesians, he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Those that are awake and alert and watching are those that stand against the attack. And the only way you're going to stand against attack, Paul says, if you've got the armour on. You've got the armour of God. You're prepared and you're clothed and ready to stand. I'm not going to go through what the armour is. You can go home and read Ephesians 6, meditate on it and put that armour on, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, all these things, the sword of the Spirit in your hand. But you need to be clothed and armed to stand. What else do people do if they are watching, alert, and on guard? How are the servants going to be acting? Turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and in verse 29. Acts chapter 20, verse 29. Paul, the apostle, is giving a sort of farewell message to the elders of the church at Ephesus while he's on a journey. He knows he's probably not going to see them again, and he's giving them a message. Paul says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, watch, be awake, be alert, be on guard, remembering that for three years I didn't cease day and night to admonish everyone with tears. Paul is warning the Ephesian elders, that the servants of the house of Christ in Ephesus, and he's telling them to be awake, to be alert to the danger of attack. It's the danger of those people that will come in and speak, it says, twisted things to draw away disciples after them. He's telling the elders of that congregation that they've got to protect the flock. They've got to protect the flock. Those that are awake in church leadership, the elders, the pastors, have got a job to do here. They are to protect the flock and the church from false teaching and those that will bring it in. That's what pastors and elders do if they are awake. We've got to be aware that there are those that would seek to draw away with false teaching and with deception, those that are in the church. 1 Peter 5 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." There is an enemy. We've got to be aware of an adversary, an enemy. And those that are awake need to be awake to the existence of that and alert to protect the flock. There's a devil who's prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for those that he may devour. Now, ultimately, Jesus is coming back. That's the point of a lot of the story of this parable. Jesus is coming back. He will defeat the enemy. He will crush the head of the serpent. He'll put right all the things that are wrong in this world right now. But right now, we need to be alert and awake to the existence and the threat of the enemy. There is a lion, there's a thief, and there are wolves, Paul says, seeking to attack the flock. Those that are alert are those that will protect the flock from attack. So we've had lots of things there. Final one, I'm going to run out of them now. Expecting, illuminating, praying, protecting. And another one, standing. People heard that one, standing. And the final one I've got is those that are awake are feeding. Those that are awake and alert are feeding. Luke 12 in that parable, verse 42 in that parable. The Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager who the master will set of his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time?" The servant's been told to feed the household, to keep the household fed with good food at the proper time. Those that are faithful and wise in the house of God, awake and alert, will be giving out the proper food at the proper time. They'll be feeding people properly. The flock, the church, does not just need protected from the wolves. The flock needs to be fed. The shepherd does not just defend the sheep from the wolves. The shepherd leads them into places of pasture so that the sheep can be fed properly. The flock needs to be fed. And those that are alert, the servants that are alert and awake in the house, have got a job to feed the flock. And I suppose that's a word for the pastors, the preachers, the teachers in the church. They've got a responsibility to provide the right food to the congregation, the right food. Job said, didn't he? "I've desired the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Jesus, when he was tempted, talked about man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We're to feed on the bread of the word of God and to be fed on that word by those that have the responsibility to stand week by week and grind that grain that we can understand it and digest and live by it. We're to be fed by the word. And those that are awake as servants, alert as servants in the house, are those that give out the proper food at the proper time. I think that's part of the warning. In James 3, there's a verse in James 3 that says, "Not many of you should be teachers, because teachers will have a harsher judgment, a more strict judgment." I don't think that's just necessarily only about what the teachers teach. I think it's also saying that teachers do have a responsibility to teach, that the teachers in the church have to be teaching. They have to be feeding the flock, not standing back and failing in their duty to do that. So lots of things that we should be doing and being if we are awake. If we are awake and alert and watching, you know, we're watching out for attack. We are faithful. We are standing against attack. We've got the armor on. We're praying. We are expecting the action, and we are illuminating our lives by the word of God. But there's another word that pops up a few times if you start trying to study what it says about watching. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we sort of shot past it earlier on. And it's something that pops up a few times, both in this parable and elsewhere, when you try and look at what you have to do if you are going to be awake. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be sober, be watchful." And then it warns about the devil creeping round to devour. And if you remember the bad manager in that second half of that parable in Luke 12, one of the problems that bad manager had was he started eating and drinking and getting drunk. A practical lesson, I think, is when you're drunk, when you're intoxicated, when you have been drinking, you will not be in a state to pray, to watch for attack, to be prepared for spiritual battle, to teach. You won't be awake and watchful. If we're going to be awake and alert and watchful, doing what we should be doing as believers, we must remain sober as a practical issue. The Bible doesn't say you should never have a drink, but I think the Bible does say you shouldn't get drunk. And I've seen what alcohol can do in people's lives, in my life at times, and in the life of those close to me. And I'd say that you cannot grow as a Christian and do the sort of things we're expected here if you are regularly getting drunk. You won't be alert to false teaching and able to resist the devil and temptation if you are drunk. I know that the fruit of the Spirit is self-control and when you've had a drink. And that may be something people here need to repent of. It's something certainly I've had to repent of in my life at times. So as we come to the end of this, I want to read again, summing up some of this. So lots of things we've got to do, but I think underlining some of that, I think it's going to be very hard to do a lot of those things as Christians if we are not sober. One last long passage, or not that long, one last passage to read before we finish. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So Paul's first letter to the church in Thessalonica, after he's given related teaching to some of the master's away, but the master's coming back. And how are you to be while you await that return? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. "Concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. You yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying that there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you're all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober." It's there again. "Having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." It says put the armor on. "For God has not destined us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep," that's alive or dead in there, "we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing." The same message we've already looked at. The return of the Lord, the day of the Lord, is a surprise to those that are getting drunk, those that are not awake. We are to be alert, to be sober. That's how the Lord wants to find us when he comes. alert and vigilant and guarding the house. Summing up, we're to seek the Lord's provision every day. Wear the armour, you're in a battle, ready for attack. Keep your lamp burning, keep the word, the lamp illuminated, keep it filled up. Keep yourself filled with the Holy Spirit, that this thing will keep burning when you read it. And keep clothed, keep yourself wrapped up, ready for action. And keep praying. Like the teenager left at home while the parents were away, how are you going to be found when he comes back? Alert and on guard with a house that's been looked after, or drunk in the living room with the door, front door wide open. I think it's a word for our time that the church is under attack in a lot of ways. What we believe is under attack often. And there are those who would twist the scripture. There are false teachers. There are the temptations of the world. And we need to be watchmen. We need to be vigilant. We need to be awake. We need to be alert to those risks. I remember this was said to Peter. You know, Peter says, is this for us or for everyone? And Jesus said, it's for the disciples. It's for the disciples, the servants that are left in the house looking after the house. It's for them. And I think Peter really got this. I think Peter understood this. And a couple of things I think that let us know that Peter really understood this. The first thing is, you know, there's a tradition in the early church fathers that the Gospel of Mark was very much the Gospel of Peter, that Peter, it was his gospel, a lot of the teachings that was recorded there. And Mark puts this parable towards the end of his gospel. I'm going to read what Mark says, his version of the parable. Mark says in Mark 13, verse 32, Mark 13, verse 32, he says, concerning the day or the hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. Therefore, what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. He says stay awake a lot in that parable. It's a bit of an emphasis. Stay awake. And then Peter, we've been looking at the letter of 2 Peter in the morning services recently, haven't we? Going through 2 Peter, the second letter of Peter. And there's quite a bit in the end of that letter about expecting the return of Jesus. So the return of Jesus. What is your attitude when people start saying, well, Jesus has delayed his coming. Jesus has delayed his coming and he's not coming back. Well, Peter in that letter responds to people that think he's not coming back. Peter says, and this was the disciple that had heard all this teaching from Jesus about how to be found by the Master when he comes back. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, Peter says, therefore, beloved, since you're waiting for these things, you're waiting for the return of Jesus, Peter says, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish. How do you want to be found by Jesus? That's what Peter is reminding them. How is Jesus going to find you when he comes back? You want to be in a good state without spot or blemish, awake and alert to the fact that he's coming back and that you have to be ready for that. And that doesn't mean just sitting there waiting for Jesus to come back. It means having the right attitude in this world, being alert. To finish off, I'm going to finish with how Peter finishes that letter. And he says, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. It's back to standing firm. grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and the day of eternity. Jesus is coming back. He's returning. He's going to crush the head of the serpent and put right all that has gone wrong in this world. And that day is growing closer and closer. But while he's gone, we've got work to do. And to do that, we need to stay awake and alert and vigilant. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you that we have a master. We thank you for what he's done for us, that he came and died and took the punishment for our sin and died our death, and we can in return have his life. Thank you that he took our sin and gives us his righteousness. And Father, we look forward to his return. And as we await that return, we ask that you would give us the power by your Holy Spirit to be those that are living faithfully day by day, with the power to do so faithfully, to live as you would want us to, awaiting that day and pointing people towards your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.